face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand. Bert Breer with us. He's brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union. Times have been tough. Rockland Federal Credit Union can help. With the products you need, a free on-demand credit monitoring tool, and the personal service you deserve, visit rfcu.com today. Hey, Bert, what's up?
Hello?
Bert, you there?
Got him?
You got me?
We do.
We got a new office?
You like that? Yeah. It's a little echoey down here. We're still working on that, but otherwise, yeah, good.
Your head's huge.
Does it look big?
Oh.
I don't know. They were just messing with the cameras. I was working with one of the guys, Jim, over at NBC.
You look fine. Don't listen to Zoe.
All right.
It's fine.
You don't look like Bedard.
Well, yeah. Zoe's an expert on big and having a big head.
There
you
go.
I do, too. So.
Not as big as Bedard. She Bedard yesterday. Jeez.
I would say the new room doesn't have as much character as the old room. But
we're working on it. We're definitely working on it.
Yeah. I'm surprised you don't have like a full mural of the
Maurice Claret, you know, like carrying the rock, a fat head.
I have the helmet here, so like we're working on shelving for that sort of stuff.
Do you have the rubber bullet? I guess it wasn't in the leg though, was it? Like it just bounced off.
I wish
off.
I did.
Yeah.
That would be a hell of an artifact, Hardy.
Wouldn't it? Like a piece of the Berlin Wall.
That would be right up there on that shelf too. The shelf that doesn't exist quite yet.
Bert, I don't know if you heard what Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels said, the sound we just played a moment ago. Mm-hmm. But they're sucking up to Cam in a way. I don't remember them sucking up to a quarterback in recent years. They are saying some very overwhelmingly positive things about this guy. And I'm wondering what your reaction is to that. If it's just them.
Hey!
If it's just them. Hey. If it's just them.
I forgot to lock my door. I was trying to hold him off. That's my buddy. That's my son, Steve. So
Steve!
He's in the office now because I forgot to lock the door, so I apologize.
That's right.
Please, all good.
That won't distract Zoe at all.
Is it just a matter of them having a new player, or is this about sticking it to Brady too?
I mean, I heard what Zoe said about it, and I think I think he's pretty much dead on there. Like, I think there's definitely truth into it, and you know, it reflects what you know the guys in Carolina would have said about him, that they all felt like he was really misunderstood, and you know, that's guys like Greg Olson, Ryan Khalil, Thomas Davis, Luke Kuechly, guys who are like respected veterans in the league. All those guys felt that way, you know? So I think there's definitely truth in it that, you know, he is a good leader and he leads in his own way. It's a very different way than Brady led. But you know, he's a very good, positive leader. And, you know, and then I think there's another piece of it, which I know you hit on, Zoe. Like that's, like, look, like you want to build the guy up as much as you can right now. And, you know, he went through a rough patch there where I think it was important for him to hear from Belichick, from Josh, like, we have your back. And
yeah, we were talking about setting him down 3 weeks ago. No?
Yeah.
That San Francisco game was bad.
Right. But very consistently, like, and Bill never talks about lineup, right?
Right.
Like you could ask Bill who was going to start at left corner, and he wouldn't concede to you that it was going to be Stephon Gilmore last year, right? Now, like now he's like very much like Cam Newton's our quarterback.
Cam,
like,
why are you asking?
That's not a mistake, right? Like, I mean, like it's, he felt the need to like show Cam, we have your back. And look, like, I think that's a really big thing too. It's interesting. One of the things that, you know, I remember talking to Ron Rivera about this a few times over the last few years, and he obviously coached Cam for 9 years there in Carolina. It's very important for Cam to feel like he can trust you, right? And so I think that, you know, the Patriots obviously did that legwork in the offseason and talking to Ron Rivera and talking to Norv Turner and talking to all of these different guys who'd worked with Cam over the years. they knew it was important. Like, hey, we have to earn the guy's trust. And that's a part of the deal here. And so I think going and publicly showing like, hey, this is our quarterback, like that goes a long way with someone like Cam.
So we talked in the beginning when Cam Newton was brought here that the possibility existed that Bill Belichick was rehabbing his own image with players. And I wonder if that factors into it too, where he commits to Cam, has Cam's back, and then no one looks at Bill Belichick as, oh, the guy who had the sort of acrimonious split with Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time. Oh, look, another quarterback went there and had a great experience with Bill Belichick and walks away from it whenever it comes to an end saying, yeah, I love playing for Bill Belichick. That guy always had my back. Like, there's an agenda here somewhere, Bert. I'm just trying to figure out which one it is.
I guess, like, if you want to, like, kind of take that to another level, too, like, you guys know how, like, Bill used Tom over the last 20 years, right?
In what sense?
Like, he would MF him in the middle of a meeting.
Oh, right? Beat him up to use him as the example. And
I bet you he doesn't do it to this guy.
No one's exempt, right? Like, that, and that was always the thing. Like, listen, like, we get results here. One of the reasons we get results here is because the way we run the program. And if you think anybody's exempt from the program, look at the way that I'm talking to Tom Brady. Like, that was a part of it for the whole, like, that was a part of it for 20 years. And so now you take that out of it. Maybe he does have to adjust a little bit. I think maybe they have to adjust a lot of different things. Like, they have to adjust the way they play offense. You can't play offense the way that you played offense the last 20 years. Like, another Tom Brady isn't coming down the pike. Even the most advanced quarterbacks coming out of college, they're brought up a different way now. So you have to adjust that. And maybe you do have to adjust the way you run your program a little bit, because if you're trying to attract free agents, if you're trying to get young players to lock into what you're doing, it's not as easy as pointing over to number 12 and say, hey, look, I have license to go tell the greatest player of all time to go screw. So if I can do it to him, then you better fall in line.
Yeah. And it seemed like, you know, that was one of the biggest things that bugged Brady at the end. You know, when these little snippets come out, whether it's in a book or, you know, the Johnny F in Foxborough, and like, you know, all he wants to do is have fun. You know, be nice. Yeah. You know, just comments from the wife, like that, the Tom versus Tom stuff. It started to take its toll on Brady.
Well, it's a long time, man. Sure. Like, if you go to work like that every day,
oh my God, coming in here, you know?
You know what I mean? And the workplace is literally designed to have you walking around on eggshells. Like, that is like the basis of it, right? It's like, they don't want anybody ever feeling comfortable. Like, of course that's going to wear on you. And it wore other guys out much faster than it wore Brady out. Like, look at Gronk. Like, Gronk was here for half the amount of time that Brady was. It wore him out. You know, you look at some of the players who came through during the first wave, like your Richard Seymours, your Ty Laws. It wore those guys out, right? Like, so, like, I think the expectation that Brady was just going to continue to take it and was never going to bother him, maybe it was unrealistic all along. And maybe the fact that he took it for as long as he took it, like, maybe they were on borrowed time with that thing the whole time. So, yeah, I mean, I think that there, because you take Brady out of that equation now, it becomes a little bit harder to sell doing things that way. Bill's smart enough to understand these things, and maybe, you know, part of treating the quarterback differently is, you know, moving your program forward in a different way.
So, Bert, I know that going back a couple of weeks now, I think Greg Bedard may have been the first one to sort of write about it. We then talked about it, and I've heard you bring it up as well. The possibility exists that Cam Newton is the Patriots quarterback beyond just this season.
Yes.
How do the Patriots get to that point where he is their best option for next year?
What you mean, like, how do they,
like,
get their contractually?
What happens? What goes wrong? How is it that next
season
they come back and he's still their guy?
How does that play out?
What's the contract option, wise?
Though? Like, that's the other thing. What's the other option? Like, I don't know if everybody, like, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo.
Trade for Jimmy.
I mean, like,
draft a guy.
But the thing is, like, that all hinges on the Niners having a better option, right? So, like, maybe the Niners wind up with Sam.
Oh, no. Did they shut our internet off again? That would have done it, right?
Yeah.
They shut our internet off earlier today.
It's not.
He's back. Hey, Bert, you got to reset there. We dropped out there for a moment.
He sounds good now.
So we haven't.
I'm good.
So what you were saying did not go out over the air. So
yeah, no. All right. So, like, say Sam Darnold winds up on the Niners next year, and Jimmy Garoppolo's here. Maybe something like that happens, but can you count on it?
No,
like, I don't think you can count. That can't be your plan, right? Like, so I think you look at it, and last year was a very unusual year with the number of quarterbacks that were available. And it was a very unusual year in that like quarterback supply outweighed quarterback demand for the first time I can ever remember. And so like, I think you have to look at the market now and what's your option out there. I mean, Phillip Rivers, like that, like, it's not like a franchise quarterback is just going to fall out of the sky, especially if you keep winning games. And so, you know, I think the way you have to look at this is what's the best stopgap for us? Like, what's the best thing to get us to the next one, right? Like, and I, that's why I keep bringing up the example of Alex Smith in Kansas City. Alex Smith was fine in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Like, they made the playoffs 4 times in 5 years under him. And he also gave them the flexibility where they never had to force it. Like, the worst position you can be in as a franchise is pigeonholed into a single year where you've got to find your franchise quarterback. That's a terrible position to be in. That's how EJ Manuel winds up going 16th overall. That's how Christian Ponder winds up going 12th overall, because you're creating it in your head. Okay, we have to find a guy. Well, let's just take him. And then you wind up like setting yourself back like 5 years because you made that mistake. And so I think what Cam can do is he can be your quarterback for the next 3 or 4 years. He can help you modernize your offense a little bit. And then the most important part is he can buy you time where you're not forced to get one next year. You can take your time in trying to find one. And Alex Smith did that for Kansas City, where, you know, like the year Andy Reid got hired was the year EJ Manuel was the only quarterback taken in the first round. Right.
Yeah.
Like, so would you rather be in that position where you have to take a quarterback in the first round or there might not be one worth taking there? Or would you rather have a veteran who's got experience, who's won an MVP, who's played in a Super Bowl, and that guy's just there and he buys you time to find the next one? Like, that's the whole idea here to me, is like Alex Smith bought the Kansas City Chiefs enough time to where they were able to wait until there was someone they really loved. And then they went and got aggressive and went and got Patrick Mahomes. Like, that to me is the ideal. Find somebody who's good enough for right now, who you're going to be comfortable with for the next 3 or 4 years to get you to the next one. And I think Cam right now is probably the best guy to do that.
That could be Cam Newton. All right, Burt Breer is with us. We're going to talk more with him, and we can include you in the conversation. 617-779-0985. Join us on the other side.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Now,
if you want to get weird sometimes, yeah.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Back then, you knew not to touch it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Burt Breer of the MMQB is with us. Patriots coaches Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels is sucking up to Cam Newton right now. And I just never take that at face value. I look at that and say, what's your agenda here? What's this all about?
Well, factor in the contract, too. Keep him happy. Right? Hey, we appreciate you. It's been so great.
Some sort of agenda. I don't take it as genuine. Never do. They're definitely kissing up to Cam Newton. They are definitely not kissing up to J.C. Jackson today. As some fans have noticed, he is not on the NFL's Pro Bowl ballot. He's not on the ballot, Bert. The team is in charge of this, by the way. They list their defense, and what they did was they listed the guys who started the most games at corner and who have the longest tenure, Jason McCourty and Stephon Gilmore.
Right.
They did not list a third corner, which they could have elected to do. They could have elected to list a third corner. Other teams have listed a third corner. The Chiefs and Cowboys have both listed third corners on their ballots because that's how you can set it up.
Nickel's your base in the NFL today, right?
Bingo.
Like, so we've heard Bill say that, right? Like, nickel is base.
Right.
Now, right?
So why wouldn't you list the nickel defense on there? Here's the reason why, and what I think is the reason why. Here's a tweet from Brian Phillips, works at Pat's Pulpit. He says, one reason for doing this could, he puts the could in all caps with the little asterisks, could be the Patriots plan on inking Jackson to a deal that includes Pro Bowl incentives. Without being chosen on the original ballot this year, next year's Pro Bowl incentive wouldn't count against their 2021 salary cap.
Or you just keep the value of the player down.
Don't you feel like there's something sneaky at play there?
That's
like, oh, don't put him a dub. No, we're not going
to. Just crazy enough to say, yeah that actually sounds kind of
We're not going to feasible.
The well, nickel it's like, as the base on here thing.
Because you we're not going to pump up a player number one that doesn't officially have the starts and is going into a contract situation. So let's knock him down a peg before we get to that point and then maybe create some sort of cap advantage for us going into next year. That's the Patriots I know.
That's the Bill Belichick game.
I know. Not the one that's kissing Cam Newton's ass all morning.
Take the check game out of
it. The organization that doesn't miss anything, I'm guessing they did miss this detail, right?
Right.
Oh, Bert, it's not done for, it's not just, oh, we just, hey, we forgot. Yeah. We just usually just put all the older players on there.
Right. Like, come on.
No, everything's done for reason.
Like, oops,
everything.
We put Jason McCourty on there and not J.C. Jackson. You know what? Yeah. Never mind. I'm not going to say it.
What?
I don't know if it was ever said on the air.
What?
Oh.
No, seriously, you take the Jet game out of it?
What kind of year you think Jason McCourty's had? You think he's a Pro Bowler?
No, but listen.
Hell no.
You take the Jet game out of it where J.C. Jackson struggled in that game. He's your best corner this year. He's your best corner, period. With the struggles of Gilmore and his injury, J.C. Jackson is your number one corner.
And he's leading the NFL in picks.
Oh, that too.
Yeah. I'll put J.C. Six, I think, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, hey, if you want some credit for developing players, maybe put the guy in the Pro Bowl ballot, right?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. you want to go on with Charlie Weiss and you want to, you know, do your interviews and brag about or use excuses or brag about thing. I don't know. Use it to your advantage that way.
Tell you what, you really want to stick it to him and where people really look at it. And he's not going to win it. But say he goes on a tear at the end of this year and he becomes elected to the All-Pro team. All-Pro is always better than Pro Bowl.
Yep.
Why is he not a Pro Bowler?
Oh, the Patriots. Oh, because his team is trying to knock him down a peg.
He's All-Pro. That's the one that means everything to people, to the guys
in the league. And by the way, they do have... You know, they deserve all the credit for finding J.C. Jackson and developing into
Like Malcolm Butler, same thing.
Absolutely. They get a lot of credit for that. But it's like, oh, we don't want that credit. We want to actually would rather get him on a good deal and then worry about the credit for actually doing something well with young players recently.
Young guys.
Let's go to Jeff in Nashua and Drew Brees. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. First of all, I'd be remiss. T-Bone, happy birthday, you big stiff man rocket. Well, I don't know what's so funny. He deserves all the praise.
Does he?
Anyway, Drew Brees, he got crushed and, of course, injured. But that was a legal hit from my perspective. It was off to the side.
That's no totally legal shot. Hit. Totally legal.
Yeah, I just didn't understand that. And then two other follow-up points. Zoe, like Laura was saying yesterday, I'm digging the new look with the aviators especially. Zoe Biden here, you should maybe do a Here's the Dill show.
Yeah.
And
Here's the Dillio. Like,
yes. And Albert, is that Arch Leister over your shoulder next to your left side head?
No, that's Maurice Clarett.
Yeah, he did that. He did that just to say that phrase to try and get us in trouble.
That's kind of cool. He's noticed the new look, me wearing sunglasses and cereal. That's, yeah.
You wearing sunglasses indoors is a new look?
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Only the last decade or so, right?
Chris in Pennsylvania. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, how's the new mask roll in your house?
What?
It's awful.
They have to wear masks inside their house in Pennsylvania now, the state of Pennsylvania.
You have to wear it inside your house, and you can't have more than, I think, six people inside your house at one time, which
really?
Is pretty bad.
But you can play high school football, and you can go to games. Yeah.
It's the whole state?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Sir.
Wow. Yeah, the whole state.
How do they know?
They walk around, look in your windows.
I don't know. I mean, there's going to be some mask police going around Thanksgiving, getting a lot of people in trouble down here. Mm. But real quick, I'm down here with a lot of Eagles and Cowboys fans. I'm originally from Massachusetts. And the Dak Prescott thing is, for some reason, I don't know if anybody talked about it. I'm assuming he's going to get franchised for like $38 million for Dallas for another year. But, I mean, he asked for like $40 million before he got injured. And if that thing sours,
Bert knows the numbers on this.
A ton of cap space. Yeah. Why don't the Patriots make a run at him? I'm assuming he's going to go back to the Cowboys. I mean, it'd be stupid to let him go, I think. But I don't know if he actually becomes available if the Patriots make a run at him, since they're going to have so much cap space and he could be a future quarterback.
What do you got on Dak, Bert?
I don't think he's going to be available. You know, every indication I've gotten from the Joneses, from people in that organization, is that they're probably going to wind up tagging him again, and they're going to try to get him signed to a long-term deal. You know, the money actually wasn't the issue there. It was the length of the deal. They've forced a lot of their veteran players to do 5- and 6-year extensions. Dak wanted to do a 4-year deal, which is what Russell Wilson's done twice in Seattle. So
who's his agent?
My guess is they find a way to come to some sort of middle ground, especially because, you know, now Dak's got to think about it with the injury and everything else. Like, you know, how far do I really want to push this, or do I want to just kind of take care of my financial future now? I think they wind up getting something done. Mm. I don't think the Cowboys are going to be bad enough to be in a position to take Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields anyway, where, you know, maybe you would think about it just because the finances are so different, you know, having a veteran quarterback versus a rookie quarterback. But I don't expect Dak Prescott to be available to anybody but the Cowboys this offseason.
Hey, just a quick update. Andrew Callahan of the Boston Herald beat writer for the Patriots just tweeted this out. J.C. Jackson will be added to the Pro Bowl ballot later today, per source.
And hey, listen to the show.
Does that mean someone has to be removed?
No,
is that bad news for Jason?
Well, how do you have a 12th player?
Oh, okay.
He's on it now on NFL.com.
He is.
Wow, that was quick.
Did someone get removed? Is my next question. If you submit 11 defensive players.
Well, so do they go like from 3 linebackers to 2 linebackers?
I don't know. I don't know if someone got the bump.
It took Terrence Hall off.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who are the 3 linebackers that they felt were worthy of nomination for the Pro Bowl ballot this year?
I mean, like, maybe they really liked what they saw from Josh Uche on Sunday and threw him on there.
Sure. It's a bunch of guys that have been here for a total of 6 minutes. Pearl's in New Hampshire. Hey, Pearl. Oh, hold on. Hey, Pearl, go ahead.
Guys, I think what we should do, because it seems like in this town, it's like the parent who had a kid who had a great girlfriend, and then when they break up, whatever girlfriend he brings in the house can never create the same nostalgia as the first girlfriend. And that's how I see it with Cam and against Tom and all these things. We need to focus on, okay, if we're going to have Cam here, let's have him here, let's put things around him, and then let's make that decision. So if we get him on a 3-year team-friendly contract, and then we build with all the cap space, build a roster around him where he has explosive players, and then I guarantee you, and this is a guarantee, the team will be in a higher position.
I can agree with that. Cam's been put in a bad spot the same way Brady was in a bad spot a year ago. In fact, I think Cam's spot's worse now than it was a year ago. Edelman's been hurt, and he's a year older. The tight end situation, I think, has somehow managed to get worse this year. Right. And so I think Cam's been put in a very difficult position within this offense, and we sort of just look to him to do everything. Not that that was any different with Brady. We just assumed Brady would cover up all the issues. I'd like to see what this looks like with real guys to throw to other than Jacoby Myers right now.
It's not just like he's got to play quarterback. He's also got to be like their primary skill position threat, right?
Yes.
Like, you're never asking Tom to do that because he's not that type of quarterback. Like, you know, basically you're asking Cam to both run the offense, play quarterback, and also be like the guy that the defense has to game plan in the running game, you know? And so, like, you're putting a lot on his shoulders. And I think, like, in a certain way, because, like, I think that, like, what you saw against the Ravens and really the last 2 weeks is the Patriots acknowledging that, like, right? Like, the first 2 weeks of the season, I think they played this way. They sort of strayed a little bit, and it looked to some degree, like, in the middle there, like they were trying to revert back to what they've been the last 20 years. And then the last 2 weeks, I think you've seen them go back to, all right, like, this is what we have to be because this is what Cam is. And so you're putting a lot on his shoulders now where it's not just be the quarterback, Cam. It's also you got to be like kind of our primary skill position threat, the guy who the defensive coordinator is most worried about.
And he has no margin for error. Zero.
Right.
And think about it. You look at some of those passes. It's like you're lucky that they're in zone and they're not going to man you up every single play because I don't know if you have man beaters on the outside.
Right.
Without running a pick play. I mean.
So the more we talk about this, isn't that leadership, the fact that he hasn't thrown anybody under the bus? The fact that, like, you guys remember, like...
Oh, and Nikhil. Like, Nikhil killing for the last 5 weeks. That's my guy, man.
Right.
He's going to be
all
right.
6 weeks ago, like, you guys remember this, like, I think it was 5-6 weeks ago, he said, like, all the answers we need are right here in the building. Like, that's leadership,
Yeah, he did.
Right? leadership doesn't need to be like standing in front of every room and like yelling at everybody. Leadership can be like, I got everybody's back here and this is the group we're with and I'm good with it. Like, I think he a lot of things that he's said over the last 5 or 6 weeks display leadership, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I think some people like, just because he's packaged a little bit differently than, you know, what we're used to at the position, I think maybe people miss that. But like I feel like he has shown a lot of leadership over the last, you know, really all year.
I agree.
I mean, like when things were bad, the fact that he wasn't throwing everybody else under the bus, the fact that he was saying the answers to all of your questions are right here in the building. I think that is leadership.
What is going on?
We figured out who got bumped for J.C. Jackson.
Who?
It's Jennings at linebacker.
Heffernan Jennings
was
don't you have to dress out three games?
Was one of the guys on the Pro Bowl list.
Well, he was a long shot,
and he's been bumped. He's no longer found.
Hardy, was he your dark horse there?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he had a chance. Yeah.
Juwan Bentley is available for voting as well. If you want to vote for Bentley or Jennings got bumped, who's the other? Who's the now second linebacker?
John Simon. They have Winovich as a defensive end, Simon as an outside linebacker.
Okay, so the linebackers as of yesterday were Jennings, Bentley, and Simon. And now
I'm looking at the snap counts now, guys.
Yeah.
So J.C. Jackson's played 438 snaps on defense. Anthony Jennings has played 124. Yeah, he's playing 23% of the snaps.
It doesn't seem like enough, right, maybe, to warrant inclusion on the ballot, but... You know.
But again, maybe they see something we don't.
Yeah, they work in mysterious ways.
I like how Jason Cole checked in with the NFL yesterday and then tweeted out, NFL spokesman said teams are allowed to put more than two cornerbacks from their team on the ballot. I love Jason Cole. Jason Cole calls the league. He's I'm going to get him on the record saying that you are allowed to put three corners on your ballot. Just want to double check.
It's unbelievable.
So congratulations, J.C. Jackson.
Actually, you know what? Like, I'm looking at the numbers now.
Yeah.
J.C. Jackson leads all corners on the Patriots roster in snaps played.
Oh, yeah. He's got the most playing time out of anybody on the team.
Yep. Number one. Jonathan Jones is actually the one who's secondary. Closest to him. Right.
I think what's McCourty at? Devin McCourty, not Jason McCourty.
Well, Devin McCourty's it says here. Since he's played 137 percent of the snaps.
How does that happen?
How's that possible?
How does that work exactly?
He's out to practice. He gets some extra reps. Extra reps of practice.
You know what they say about him? Always gives 110%.
Sure does.
And he's just inching closer to that all the time.
That was like Malcolm that year where he played 98% of snaps, but he didn't play in a Super Bowl.
So they got him at 539 snaps.
All right, more with Bert Breer coming up. Hardy has headlines. Don't go anywhere.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
How would John McClain and, just as importantly, the Houston base react to re-upping with another cadre of New England Patriots? Perhaps Josh McDaniels, and if Nick Caserio could wriggle loose to go down there, or another personnel guy. Go ahead.
Don't waste your energy broadcasting and writing on that. I don't think that's going to happen.
Josh?
I think the ties between the Texans and the Patriots is over unless Bill signs former players from here, which he signed a bunch of them. I think they're going in a different direction. They're interviewing candidates now who are available for general manager job. It's weird, Tom. Why do you think that we don't see general managers recycled while we do coaches? That's just amazing that we don't, but there's a lot of them out there. And their idea is to interview as many as possible, get as many ideas about their team, about management structure, all of that before they make the decision on the next general manager. And it's not going to be Jack Easterby, and it's not going to be Nick Caserio.
John McClain talking to Tommy Curran on his podcast at NBCSportsBoston.com.
What happened to Easter Boy?
I don't know.
Bill said he's not a personnel guy, right? Definitely not. So, nice guy. Worked well here. Not a personnel guy.
I hear this more when I think about Josh McDaniels and future opportunities for him. Well, that one's out. Doesn't look like Houston's going to be going with another Patriots guy anytime soon. Bert, do you hear anything on that?
Yeah, I think it's unlikely. Everybody looks at Jack's, you know, involvement there. I just don't think the owner is going to sign off on it. And Jack Easterby has other, you know, relationships that I think are worth looking at, like Dabo Swinney from Clemson, like very, very close with Jack Easterby. What? Obviously has the relationship. Yep. Actually has a relationship.
How much ass can he kiss?
He's got the relationship with Deshaun Watson, of course, too. Like Dabo does. So, like, I don't think that ownership's going to sign off on Josh and Nick. And I don't know that Josh and Nick would want to go there anyway.
Right.
You know, Josh was going to bring Jack to Indianapolis with him, but that was with Jack answering to Josh, right? Like,
right. Josh Nick is not going to answer to Jack.
Right. Right. Nick and Jack are like close. That's here. True. Yeah. That's true. But like, would Nick, like after waiting for 10 years to take his shot at being a general manager somewhere, go to a place where he's, you know, in essence going to be reporting to a preacher? I don't mean to demean him, but like, that's like basically what you're asking, you know, because like all these different, like all the different positions across the league, like so much of this is about structure and who reports to who and how do things flow up towards ownership. And I mean, for the Texans, I don't know that it makes sense just because of they've been down this road the last 7 years, trying to kind of bring the Patriots model down there. And I don't think for Josh or Nick, it makes a ton of sense either based on how careful they've been about where they're going to take their shots. I mean, in essence, yeah, if you're going down there, you're going down there to work for Jack Easterby. And I'm not sure either of those guys would sign up for that.
Bert, what about the path for the Patriots right now? Do you see a path? Do you believe in the path? Do you believe in the math? All of this stuff. Where do you stand on this?
I've heard a lot about the path the last couple of days.
Oh, have you?
I think that they can. I have. I think they're very much in the race. I mean, look, like this is the year that they're expanding the playoffs. So there are seven teams that are going to get in the AFC. And if you look at their schedule over the next 4 weeks, all right, like, so I think the Texans, that's a win. The Jaguars, that's a win. And then if you can split against the Chargers and Rams, now you go 3-1 over a 4-game stretch. You're 7-6 and you've got three division games left. So I think I don't think it's that difficult to see them getting 9-7, maybe 10-6. And then who are you talking about who you're going to be, you know, in the race against? Well, it's probably Baltimore, right? It's probably either Indianapolis or Tennessee. It's probably the Raiders. And then it's the Dolphins or the Bills. Can you compete with those teams? I think that they can, you know? And so do I think they can win the conference? Do I think they're a Super Bowl contender? No. Like, I don't think they're on the level of a Kansas City or a Pittsburgh, but do I think they can get in? Like, based on where they are, how their schedule sets up and what they're up against, I absolutely think there's a shot for them to get in as the 6th or 7th seed.
They get in, Bill be candidate for coach of the year.
Yeah, I mean, although like what Flores is doing at Miami,
and some talent though, you know what I mean? Like the problem with the Patriots though is people don't really give it credit as far as a talented team.
No, I know, and I think Bill would deserve a lot of credit if the first year post Brady he's able to, especially like based on where they were in October,
right?
If he's able to get them in, like I think he absolutely deserves consideration, no question about it. I just look at like what Brian Flores did and how much of a tear down that's been. And I know these awards are supposed to be about a single year, but I think with Flo, what you would be looking at is like, it's almost like a 2-year thing, like that he was able to take them from where they were and the amount of guys they got rid of. I mean, they traded Laremy Tunsil, they traded Minkah Fitzpatrick. They stripped that thing down to the studs, right? In 2019, the fact that he's able to have them in playoff contention this quickly, and like to me, like that's how you draw it up when you're talking about coach of the year candidate. So the definition of the award, the way the award's always been interpreted, like I think Flores is sort of the perfect candidate for it. And then Tomlin, I mean, if they get to 14-2 or 15-1, and I don't think Mike Tomlin's ever won it before, like I certainly could see there being some sentiment that you should give it to him too. So those are the top two guys, I think, for the award now. But if Bill's able to pull these guys off the mat, get to 9 or 10 wins, and make it into the playoffs, he definitely deserves consideration based on where the roster is, which, you know, again, is in part his fault.
One more segment with Burt Breer coming up next with your call, 617-779-0985.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
The former QB, always laser focused.
It's like going to bed at night and bringing a rattlesnake in your room. I'm sleep on a hot spot on a hot rock.
And the guy who was always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, here's a fun story for you. From the New York Post. It just got posted, I don't know, 10 minutes ago. Andrew Marchand. You know, I sort of commented going back over a month ago that Nance and Romo didn't exactly seem to be getting along too well. You hear some rumors. You know, they may not be on the best of terms at the moment. This from Marchand, New York Post. Jim Nance, the face of CBS Sports, is looking for Tony Romo money. And what is shaping into a potential showdown between the network and its longtime star, the Post has learned. Sources say Nance is seeking to top the $17.5 million yearly salary Romo signed right before the pandemic hit, as everything perfectly aligned for the standout NFL analyst.
Mm.
While Romo just works the football season, Nance calls the NFL, the Final Four, and golf, including the Masters. He has been out front for CBS for three decades.
Hello, friends.
He currently makes $6.5 million per year.
You said that. Prior to it, I would think he would make somewhere between $10 and $12 million a year. Nance.
On a contract that ends early next summer, according to sources. In the last 30 years, Jim Nance has become the face and voice of CBS. Nance's agent, who is it, Zoe? Sandy Montag. Told the Post. The network has become synonymous with his voice and leadership.
Wow.
How is it that Romo gets 17.5 and Nance gets 6.5? I would say that Nance is very much in line for a raise.
Oh, he's gonna
that's the market too, isn't it?
Whoa!
No.
Whoa. I came in hot there, huh?
Yeah. It's
yeah.
All
right. Sorry, guys. That's the market too, though, isn't it? Because like ESPN really wanted Romo.
Right, and they drove the price up.
Right, and that drove the price up. Like ESPN wants to move Monday Night Football potentially to ABC and make it a bigger deal. And so, like, eventually they're going to need somebody like Romo. They made a run at Breeze, too.
Well, didn't they offer Peyton more than Romo? Like 20 a year?
Yeah.
What they offered Peyton.
Like Peyton's been offered the moon and the stars. I don't know how. I don't know the exact total, but I know Peyton's been offered the moon and the stars, and it still looks like he eventually is going to wind up running a team rather than getting into TV. But... yeah, I mean, like, I like what Romo made was sort of dictated by the market. So I think, like, Nance needs another suitor, right? Like, and I'm sure he'd get one. I'm sure somebody else would want him. But that's sort of what made what put Romo's number where it was.
I mean, Bert, you just named it. ABC, if they want Monday Night Football back on ABC.
Right.
There it is. There's your spot. There's your guy, Jim Nance. Where he would only, have to do the NFL
Look at Al Michaels.
Season?
Look what they had to give Tariko.
Here's
just
the
to keep
slap.
Who else works for Sandy Montag?
A lot.
Peyton
works
Manning.
With him. Yeah, it's also Peyton's agent.
Nance and Peyton, Monday Night Football. You want to make a splash? Like that's how to make a splash.
They'd be the new, Dandy Don and Frank Gifford.
Well, because the rumor I heard was that, like, ESPN's trying to acquire Thursday Night Football now. And that they would put one on ABC and the other one on ESPN. So they would need they probably need two broadcast teams to pull that off, right?
Right.
So then, you know, maybe you move what the current team is over to Thursday Night Football, and then Nance and Manning would be your Monday Night team, I suppose.
Or CBS can just pay Nance and keep what is their best announcer,
right?
Who does three different sports for them and works. Every freaking day works like he never stops working. He's working all the time. Here's the other part. So last weekend, Nance in an awkward spot of not being able to do a game because he's doing the Masters. That's never happened before. So you know what they did with Romo?
Tell him to take day off.
They gave him the weekend off.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He makes $17.5 million a year. He only does football. Oh, Nance isn't available. He's busy working. Romo, take the weekend off.
It's a bye week for him, right?
How do you think Nance felt? Like, wait, what? He just gets a weekend off?
Yeah.
You know?
So he's worth more than three times what I make because I do three times the amount of work. So
correct.
Okay, so you're paying him, what, you know, give it a number, four or five times you think his value is, yet he can't do his job unless I'm there.
You know, the crazy thing is Romo is making more from CBS than he did as a player.
I know.
Which is freaking bananas if you think about that.
Great gig. Great work if you can find it. Bert, any parting thoughts today? Anything that we didn't get to?
No. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, this weekend's game's interesting just because, I mean, it would have been more interesting if Bill O'Brien was still the coach, right? Based on everything that happened.
Yeah. What about AB down in Tampa?
You know what? Here's an interesting thought, right? The Patriots can help the Dolphins this weekend. Do you guys know how?
How?
Because the Dolphins have the Texans' first-round pick. So if the Patriots beat the Dolphins, they're going to make that pick. Or the Patriots beat the Texans, they make that pick better. I'm telling you guys, the Dolphins, as well as they played, they could wind up with a top-five pick here. If Houston keeps playing the way that they've been playing, like that pick could wind up in the top five. And now you're talking about like maybe adding like a Jamar Chase from LSU, a Micah Parsons from Penn State, Penei Sewell from Oregon, or if it's as high as number one or number two, maybe they could trade that pick, or maybe they wind up with Trevor. I mean, it's just crazy to think about where the Dolphins are. And even like right now, like with this game, the Patriots could actually wind up helping the Miami Dolphins out by beating the Texans.
Say you get up there though, in the top five, Tua and that top five pick for the number one spot to go get Trevor.
I mean, like, well, I if I'm the Dolphins, like it's a real conversation because Trevor Lawrence considered, you know, Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, John Elway. Like, this guy doesn't come along very often. Like, this is a once-in-a-decade type of prospect. I heard the guys in the afternoon talking about it a couple weeks ago, as if, like, this sort of guy comes along every year. It doesn't happen.
No!
Like, this guy is, like, a once-in-a-decade type of prospect. So if you're the Dolphins, that's got to be a real conversation.
Wow.
Like, do we – if we wind up with the first pick, and I don't think they will because, you know, the Texans are two games ahead of the Jets in those standings, but – like if they wind up with the first pick, do we, you know, turn around and trade Tua now and go with Trevor Lawrence? If they wind up with the second pick though, let's say, then maybe somebody comes up to get Justin Fields and they wind up with even more picks. Like, it's just the Dolphins are in such a good spot now, which is part of the reason why, you know, I think Flores deserves all the credit he's getting and probably is going to wind up being the coach of the year, no matter what Bill does over the next 7 weeks.
All right, Bert, thanks for the time today. We'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
See you, Bert. Right,
Bert Breer joining us from the MMQB here on Zolak and Bertram. We'll talk to David Andrews, Patriot Center, coming up at sometime around 12:30 is what we're being told. He's going to join us, yeah, somewhere in there, 12:20, 12:30, somewhere in there. That's coming up this hour, so don't go anywhere.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.